Welcome to Understanding Your Bible. We're glad that you joined us today, and I hope that the broadcast will be a blessing to you. I would invite you to take a pen and paper and write down the scriptures that we go over, or take your Bible and follow along in the scriptures as we study today how to understand your Bible. If there are questions that you have concerning what is taught here, I'd be glad to hear from you either by letter or telephone call. We'll be giving the name and address of the church at the end of the broadcast, as well as my telephone number. And I would love to hear from you if you have any comments, either positive or negative, about the broadcast. I'd be glad to hear from you and be glad to respond to any questions that you might have. Understanding your Bible is something that some people believe is almost impossible. And yet, the Bible tells us that we can understand our Bible, and there are certain keys to doing that. I believe that one of the main keys to understanding your Bible today is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, where the Apostle Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, when we talk about rightly dividing the word of truth, we are talking about distinguishing between scriptures that are written directly to the church, the body of Christ, and those that were written to and for the nation Israel. I have a chart that demonstrates the truth of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Here on the chart, we've listed the books of the New Testament in the exact order that you find them in your Bible. There are what is called the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's followed by the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is followed by 13 epistles written by the Apostle Paul. Then we have the Hebrew epistles, Hebrews through Revelation. In Paul's epistles, we find the gospel of the grace of God that was committed to Paul. We find that Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. We find the dispensation of the grace of God. And we find the church, which is the body of Christ. Now, in rightly dividing the word of truth, we are talking about distinguishing from the doctrine for the church and the doctrine for the nation Israel. If you'll read and study in your Bible, you'll find out that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have to do with the earthly ministry of Christ and with him training 12 men to preach the gospel of the kingdom after he ascends into heaven. As a matter of fact, one of the last things that he says to them is that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. In Acts chapter 1, they ask him, they say, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" Notice the emphasis is still on Israel. He says it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. And so he tells them to go to Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. And then he tells them to preach this same gospel. So in Acts chapter 2, they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost there. And then Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and he preaches. And he says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words." And it's interesting to note what he preaches. He said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." God is dealing with the nation Israel all through the Old Testament, after Genesis chapter 12. And then in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Bible said he came into his own, but his own received him not. And they reject the Lord Jesus Christ, and they crucify him. He is crucified, buried, and raised again. And then the 12 go out after choosing Matthias to replace Judas, preaching this gospel of the kingdom. They're expecting Christ to return during their lifetime. Peter said, "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." But God does not return to earth and establish his kingdom. Instead, he saves the Apostle Paul, and he brings in a mystery period of time called the dispensation of the grace of God. It's called the revelation of the mystery given to the Apostle Paul. When Paul is saved, God gives Paul the gospel of the grace of God. And Paul begins to preach this good news that salvation today is now not available only to the Jew and the Gentile that bless the Jew, but it's available to all men. Then we find the books of Hebrews through Revelation, and the doctrine you find in those books primarily will fit the tribulation period, the 70th week of Daniel, and the millennial reign of Christ. Now, last time on the broadcast, we talked about things that differ. I mentioned to you that there was a preacher friend of mine years ago that made the statement that things that differ are not the same. And if you will compare Scripture with Scripture, you'll see that there is dramatic difference in what Paul taught versus what is taught in the rest of the New Testament, both by Christ and his followers. Last time we talked about five facts of things that differ. I want to read those just briefly for you today. Number one, we saw that under the kingdom message, as under the law, works were always a part of salvation. But under grace given to Paul, salvation is a free gift without works. We also saw that Jesus Christ specifically taught his disciples and others to keep the law, while Paul said we're not under the law. We saw that the 12 taught that works were necessary for salvation, while Paul taught that they were not necessary. We saw that baptism is a work and was essential for Israel's salvation. And yet, today in the dispensation of grace, we saw that there's just one baptism, and that baptism is in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And then the last thing we looked at was that Jesus taught that forgiveness was conditional on man forgiving others, while Paul taught that we are forgiven based solely on what Christ did. Jesus said, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And yet Paul said, Jesus Christ, he said, you being dead in your sins and the circumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. In other words, Jesus Christ has already forgiven you. Now, today I want to continue with some drastic differences in what is taught outside of Paul's epistles versus what Paul himself taught by revelation from the Lord. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 12 that there was an unpardonable sin, and yet Paul said that there was forgiveness for all sins. In Matthew 12:31, Jesus said, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Now we find that the Apostle Paul himself in 1 Timothy chapter 1 makes it clear that he was a blasphemer. He said he was. He said he was injurious, but he said he obtained mercy because he did it ignorantly and in unbelief. But notice what Paul said in Acts chapter 13, verse 39. In Paul's first recorded message, he said, and by him, talking about Jesus Christ, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. You see, under the law, there were certain sins for which there was no sacrifice. Jesus Christ said, if you commit blasphemy, there is no forgiveness in this world, nor in the world to come. That was true for the nation Israel. That was true under the kingdom program. As a matter of fact, nation Israel committed that blasphemy in Acts chapter 7 when they stoned Stephen to death. But Paul was a blasphemer, and yet he got forgiveness as a pattern of salvation, he said, to those who should hereafter believe. Jesus Christ said that there was no forgiveness for blasphemy. Paul said, by this man, there's forgiveness for all sins from which you could not be forgiven under the law of Moses. Are those contradictions? No. There was a change in the program. There was a change between law and grace. There was a change between kingdom and church. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul has the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. Christ taught the doctrine for the nation Israel. As a matter of fact, Paul said that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. That's Jews. He was a minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. But in the same chapter, he said that he was the minister of Jesus Christ to us Gentiles. A drastic difference. Another fact that we see in the Scriptures. Jesus told the 12 to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Paul said that he was given the gospel of the grace of God. Now, the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of the grace of God are not the same gospel. The gospel of the kingdom is the gospel that was preached in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and in the first part of Acts. It includes repentance and water baptism for the remission of sins. Matthew 24:14, Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. But Paul said in Acts 20, verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." The 12, the gospel of the kingdom. Paul, the gospel of the grace of God. Another fact. Peter preached, while preaching this gospel of the kingdom, that the sins for the nation Israel would be blotted out at the second coming of Christ. Paul preached the gospel of the grace of God, and in that gospel said that Christ died for our sins, therefore we have forgiveness now. We have now received the atonement. Notice a couple of passages of scriptures. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, Peter said, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." You see, Peter expected the Lord to return during his lifetime. He expected a new covenant to be established with the nation Israel. But Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved." And he said that gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Well, if Christ died for our sins, and in Romans chapter 5, Paul said, "You have now received the atonement." We're not waiting for our sins to be blotted out at the second coming of Christ. Our sins have already been blotted out. Jesus Christ took care of all that. The Bible said God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing our trespasses unto us. Well, there's no need for us to have our sins blotted out. They were blotted out at Calvary. But the nation Israel, looking unto Calvary, believed that Christ did die and that he was buried and was raised again. But they believed that they received forgiveness of sins at his second coming, at the establishment of the new covenant, when he said, "I'll put my laws in your heart," and so forth. Things that are different are just not the same. You see, Peter preached that Jesus Christ was raised to sit on the throne of David. Yet Paul preached that he was raised for our justification. Notice the passages. Acts chapter 2, verse 29 and 30. "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne." Now notice what Paul said about the resurrection to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. He said, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." Well, what was that? Romans 4, 25, "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." You see, the emphasis for the nation Israel was the coming kingdom. Therefore, it was very important to Peter and James and John that Christ was going to return and establish his kingdom with them and sit upon the throne. It was so important that in Matthew chapter 19, Peter asked Jesus the question, he said, "Lord, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" And Jesus Christ replied and said, "Peter, when the Son of Man shall sit upon the throne of his glory, you 12 shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." You see, Peter said, "We've forsaken all and followed you, Lord. What are we going to have therefore?" He said, "You're going to sit on thrones with me when I sit on the throne of David." Therefore, when Peter preached to the nation Israel, he said that the reason God raised him up was to sit on the throne of David. But when Paul preached about the resurrection, he said he was raised again for our justification. You see, the church, the body of Christ today, their salvation is not based upon the fact that Jesus Christ was simply the Messiah. It's what that Messiah did for them. You can believe that Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God and the Messiah and die and go to hell. What do you have to believe to be saved? You have to believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He took all your sins upon Him, and trust in what He did for you, and He'll save you for Christ's sake. Now, some other differences. Peter, who was given the keys to the kingdom, Peter, whose apostleship was associated with the nation Israel, Peter was sent to baptize. And yet Paul said he was not sent to baptize. Now I want you to think about that. So many people in religion today say that Peter and Paul had really the same ministry. That Peter began a ministry and Paul just took that up and expanded on it. Well, you know something? In Matthew 28, verse 19, that which is called the Great Commission, Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost." In Mark chapter 16, He said, "Those that believe and are baptized shall be saved." Baptism was not optional for the nation Israel. It was not a testimony of salvation. It was not an outward act of an inward belief, as is taught today. It was absolutely necessary for the nation Israel. But today, water baptism has no part in the gospel. It has no part in your salvation today. Paul said Christ died for your sins. He said, "By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." And he said, there's just one baptism today for the church, the body of Christ. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:17, he said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize." Now, I want you to tell me, how in the world, if we believe this Bible means what it says, can Peter and Paul be operating under the same commission when one is told to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and Paul said, "Christ sent me not to baptize"? Well, if He sent Paul not to baptize, then obviously baptism couldn't be part of the commission that Paul was operating under, and it wasn't. Paul was operating under another commission. You'll find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where he said, "Now we are ambassadors for Christ." He said over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." You see, the ministry today is for us to go about and tell people that they've been reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Not to try to get them water baptized, not try to get them walk the aisle for Jesus, not to try to get them to join the church, not to try to get them to do any of these other things, but to simply recognize the fact that God is not imputing their trespasses, that Jesus Christ died for their sins, and by trusting Him they can be saved. Another thing I mentioned earlier, Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, as were the 12, while Paul was the minister to the Gentiles. Romans 15:8, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." Matthew 10, verse 5 says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Romans 11:13, Paul said, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." Now, you know, most of the differences that we've talked about today and last time center around the message of salvation. But, you know, there's some very practical things that were associated with the kingdom that are altogether different in the dispensation of the grace of God. For example, Jesus Christ taught the 12 that in that kingdom there was no need for them to work for a living, since the kingdom was at hand and He would provide for their needs. Well, Paul said, if we don't work, we shouldn't eat. You see, in Matthew 6:25, Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Let me tell you something, folks. There are many preachers out there today that claim to be basing their doctrine on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they don't take all the verses there as literal truth for them. While Jesus Christ said, "Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body the raiment?" Notice over in the book of Acts how this was carried on. Acts 2, verse 44 and 45, "And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need." Well, they were operating under the command of Matthew chapter 6. Isn't it interesting today that there are a number of churches that claim that the church started in Acts chapter 2, and yet they don't follow the doctrine of Acts chapter 2? Well, the church started with the Apostle Paul. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. He was given the dispensation of the grace of God. He was given the gospel of the grace of God. And he said that in me first he might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them who should hereafter believe. Paul was the pattern of salvation. Jesus taught that there was no need to work. But notice what Paul said. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, he said, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." In 1 Timothy 5:8, he said, "But if any man provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel." In other words, Paul very plainly taught that today if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. Now, our government has interceded on the behalf of people, but God never intended it that way. You see, God intended that people work for their food. He said, if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. And I'll guarantee you, I'm as much in favor of helping people who are truly in need as anybody. But you could eliminate a lot of tax dollars being paid out if people followed the Apostle Paul. If you don't work, you don't eat. That's a good principle to follow. That's a godly principle. That's a biblical principle. Another thing. Concerning prayer, Jesus Christ taught the disciples, "Ask and you shall receive." He said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Now, you know, sometimes preachers like myself, grace preachers, are accused of not believing in prayer. I believe in prayer. Paul said, "Pray without ceasing." But, you know, there's an awful lot of people today that have been deceived and been discouraged because they were not taught the truth about prayer. They've been taught to claim Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." I heard a preacher on TV one time say that God is obligated to answer your prayer. Well, you know, it's interesting to me that the Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 and 9, says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." You see, God may not choose to answer your prayer today. He told you to pray. Pray about all things. But he may say that his grace is sufficient. You don't have the promise that God is going to answer your prayers as the disciples did. And then the last thing I want you to notice is that Jesus Christ told the disciples that they would have a supernatural endowment of knowledge, while Paul said that we have to study. Now, when Christ was preparing his disciples for this kingdom ministry, this preaching the gospel of the kingdom, it's important for us to remember that there were things associated with that ministry that were altogether different from the ministry given to the Apostle Paul. In Mark chapter 13, verse 11, Jesus said, "But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost." Now, there are people today that try to claim that passage of Scripture for today. But you know something? God Almighty has given us what we're to speak. It's in the form of this King James Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We don't have to pray for a supernatural filling of the Holy Spirit. When we were saved, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit on the day of redemption. And we have the Word of Christ, we have the Word of God in this Bible, and we have the Spirit of God within us to reveal to us, by the Word of God, God's will for us today. That's why Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth." Let me tell you something. People today believe that their power comes through agonizing prayer, and I believe in prayer. But listen, praying at the altar is not going to teach you anything out of the Word of God. I believe you ought to pray. But you see, receiving a vision is not going to teach you anything out of the Word of God. Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what this whole program is about, understanding your Bible. Why? So that you can know what God wants you to do. You can know God's will for you in this present dispensation. Why do you need to know that? Because outside of Paul's epistles, there's a great difference in the doctrine for the nation Israel and the church, the body of Christ. You need to be walking according to the marching orders given to you in the dispensation of the grace of God. And that doctrine is given in Paul's epistles, Romans through Philemon. My encouragement to you is for you to get you a King James Bible. Open that Bible and read it and study it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.